Bring in a mic, not yet. Oh, he's already. Oh, he's set. Sorry, Nick. So we've invited Nick Spohn to come and share his testimony with us this morning. With him is John. John is his next door neighbor who is active in campus ministry at Millersville. And they happen to be next door neighbors. And when Nick, I guess I'll let you guys can explain it all how later on how you got in relationship with them getting connected, and that he is his disciple now. Like they have a discipleship relationship, which is pretty neat. Seth and Tori are here because a couple weeks ago when Renee was here, but when Sean and Laura were here, they had announced that Nick was coming, and Seth and Tori graduated with Nick. They were on the track team together. Unfortunately, their senior year, they lost that because of COVID and had a weird graduation. The way it is, right? You graduated, right, guys? So at any rate, my relationship with Nick is when Nick was in 10th grade, I was his adaptive health and physical education teacher. So he had just lost his sight about a year ago, and we would talk. I saw him every week, and he, you know, said to me, I can't play soccer now. I'm not sure what I'd like to do. And so we kicked around a couple different things, and in the end, I said, do you have enough peripheral vision to maybe see a contrast at the track? That you could see the track in the infield. And so we went out there and we're experimenting, and sure enough, he decided that that's what he wanted to do. And so since I'm still coaching track, he was, quote, on the track team with me and many other coaches. I didn't coach him personally, but was still part of the staff. So from there, I will let Nick explain his story from beginning to end. He has a fascinating story to tell, and he's a wonderful young man. So Nick, come on up. And right here's your, can you feel that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have my notes on my phone.
Okay.
Works. All right. Hopefully I don't need my notes, but we'll see what happens. Thank you, everyone. I'm excited to be here today and to speak to all of you. Like Luann said, my name is Nick Spohn. You know, the running part that that Luann was talking about, I always call her Mrs. Wise because she was my teacher. But the you know, that's a great thing on its own. You know, someone who's visually impaired, you know, trying to run. But I think the greater story is what God has had me run towards over the past several years. So, you know, I'll just start with a little bit of my background. I grew up going to church, but I felt like there was no relationship or connection to God. And a big part of that was, you know, there were several challenges in my life, whether it was, you know, family-related things, like my parents separating and divorcing. That's tough on any kid. It really is. But then, you know, things like my brother, my younger brother, I have a brother that's 3 years younger than I am. When he was 9 years old, he became visually impaired. And then when I was 14, so just a few years later, I also became visually impaired. So those things took a toll on me, as well as, you know, because of my vision loss, college was very challenging, and it was also a challenge working with the university to make sure that I could have the same education as everyone else. So all of those things compounded itself, and near the end of college, during my junior year, I decided to humble myself to the idea of seeking God for answers and for direction in my life. I decided to pray, probably didn't pray for over a year at that time, but I decided to pray, asking God for direction, for him to surround me with a good community, and for him to help me understand him, because I felt like I did not. And thankfully, within a few days or so, he answered that prayer. I was at a club fair at Penn State Harrisburg. I was a student at Penn State Harrisburg, and I was representing a club that I started for people with disabilities. And there were other clubs there, you know, so that way students could go around and see, you know, what kind of things on campus there were and what they might be interested in. And it just so happens that right next to my table was a group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. But I don't think that was a coincidence. I think that was just a clear answer to prayer, and I knew it as soon as I saw them setting up at my table and noticed that that was them. So in between, you know, talking to people, you know, I was able to have a conversation with one of the students there, I got involved there with things like, you know, going to worship, going to Bible study, going to men's group, all kinds of things like that. And those things were very helpful. But what I don't want to say what got me across the finish line, because it's a race of endurance when it comes to faith. But what the way that I was really led to the Lord was through my next door neighbor, John, who is here today. We had a really great conversation, and how it started was he asked me what I thought my chances were of going to heaven. And I said, well, I guess maybe a 50%, 55% chance. I was cautiously optimistic, I guess you could say, but it turns out that wasn't a good answer. So John asked me a couple more questions to, I guess, kind of get me lost and thinking about, like, what I truly believed. And the next question he asked was, what are some things that I thought I needed to do more of? So, you know, things, I said maybe things like learning more from the Bible, or, you know, honoring my parents more, because as a teenager, I always thought it was my way or the highway, and, you know, stuff like that. And then John asked, what are some things that I thought I needed to do less of? So I thought, well, I probably need to sin less, and I need to curse less, because I had quite the mouth on me when I was a kid. And even though I made some changes up to that point, that was still something I wasn't proud of. So after sharing those things with John, he said that although those are good goals and good intentions, it's not about doing those kinds of things. It's about putting my full trust and faith in the work of Jesus, that he died on the cross, rose from the dead for the full payment for my sins. And so after that, John shared with me John 3:16, which is something that I knew of before, but what stood out to me was the way that information was shared with me, and that was he put my name into the Bible verse to make it more personal. So, for God so loved Nick that he gave Nick his only son, that if he would believe in him, he would not perish but have eternal life. And that really stood out to me because it helped convey the personal relationship of God and how that's what God wants with us. And so after that, we talked about verses 17 and 18. So right after that, it follows up with, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And those last couple statements really pierced my heart too, because, you know, we are not called to be condemned, but we are called to be saved. And, you know, it just really reinforced the gospel message from verse 16. And after that, you know, John answered some more questions that I had, and he asked if I wanted to pray a sinner's prayer. So I did that, and also prayed thanking God for what he had done for me. And this took place on December 21st of 2023, and so I'm very thankful for that. But after that, right afterwards, John challenged me to come up with some goals. Now that I'm saved, what are some maybe good goals to have? And at the time, I only came up with two things, the first of which is to share with others that by God's grace, we are saved through faith, not works. You know, so far I've talked a lot about what God has done for me, you know, saving me, but quite honestly, he did it for each and every one of us. He did it for everyone that comes to him by faith. So, you know, it's not our work. There's nothing that I can do to save myself, to justify myself, to make myself good enough to go to heaven. There's nothing that any one of you can do anything to get to heaven. It's all about the perfect work of Jesus Christ. So, yeah. And then, you know, with that, I just also want to share some ways that God has been, you know, impacting my life and some of the changes and things that he's brought forward. First off, I've gotten into the habit of reading scripture daily. It's something that I struggled with at first, but it's been really eye-opening to see how things written, you know, thousands of years ago are so relevant to today. And also, another way that God has made an impact on my life is that I've been having more spiritual conversations, I guess you could say, with other people. Two of the more notable examples would be, number one, each year at the farm show, my church has a outreach table, so we hand out balloons to kids, and then we also ask adults if they'd want to answer some questions of a survey that we have. So it's usually 3 to 5 short questions, and with those things, we are able to get some conversations with people about the gospel. And the first year that I participated in that, 2024, I hate to admit it, but I was too scared to talk to anybody. I didn't really talk to anyone. But that bothered me all year long until the next farm show. And so God redeemed the time because this past October, I was able to talk to 10 different people, and they were at varying levels of understanding about the gospel. Some were saved, some may not have been. But it was a very fruitful experience for my own development. And also, the other area of spiritual conversation that's been very, very moving is that over the past few months or so, I've been able to have conversations with my younger brother about Jesus and the gospel. And if you said that to me, if you told me a year ago that, you know, God's going to open the door for you to talk to your brother right from the Bible, and you're going to have 45-minute conversations or an hour and a half conversations or somewhere more or less than that, I would have told you that you're crazy. 'Cause that's just not something that he was interested in. You know, God has a way of working through things, and just I hope and pray that that would be able to continue throughout this calendar year. So some other ways that my life has changed is the serving opportunities that I've had. For about a year or so, I was on the worship team at my church as one of the guitar players, and that was a really great experience, you know, praising God in that way. But after a little over a year, I decided that I needed to step away to something else that God was calling me to. And around that time was actually when I started talking with my brother more about the gospel. So interesting how God lines things up like that. But besides that, I've also been able to serve at my church through writing different pieces of content for our church newsletter. And I've grown to enjoy writing, even though in school I hated it because it was a homework kind of thing. But now it's been a way that I can encourage others and challenge others in their faith. So just another thing, too, is, another way that God has been moving in my life is just the opportunities he's given to share with a group, you know, like this. The first opportunity was with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at the Mannheim Central High School, which is a group that meets before the start of the school day every Wednesday. And that was a surreal moment because I actually had a friend or two who, would say, hey, you got to come to this group, you know, on Wednesdays. And I didn't go very often when I was in high school, but, when I did, I felt like I got something out of it. And for me to be one of the people speaking there was such an honor, and to share the gospel to everyone. And then now I'm here talking to all of you. I never thought I'd be a speaker, but I guess I am, or at least for now in this season of life, and whatever else God has next, I look forward to that. I was talking a little bit about goals earlier, and we're at the start of a new year. So I was thinking about like what some of my goals might be, and I have several, but they're all centered around a specific theme, because people say that if you have a theme, then it's easier to meet your goals because you're aiming towards one thing rather than, 5, 7, 10, whatever things. And my theme this year is focused on intentionality, which, not that I wasn't intentional over the past few years with anything I've done, but I see the past few years as a time where God saved me, God has established for me a new life, and I've been able to build a foundation of knowledge and just the practical, being able to share with other people about my faith. So to me, I see this year as a way to, live out more my faith, and I trust that God will provide more of those opportunities. Now, when I was also thinking about this, I was thinking about how, joy is something that people often talk about around Christmas time, and, around any time of year. Some people always throw that word out there, but it made me think about what joy really means and how those who trust God in faith can live with joy. And so when I was thinking about that, I studied and took a look at a prophet from the Old Testament because joy is not something limited to today's believers, those who have their hope in Jesus himself. It was also something that some Jewish people also exhibited as well in their God. What's interesting about this one prophet named Habakkuk is that he had this back and forth conversation with God. And, at first he was crying out to God saying, why aren't you answering my prayers? Why aren't you, saving your people from violence? And God basically said, this might sound crazy, but I'm sending the Chaldeans to come and attack you guys and take a lot of Jews captive, which is the opposite of what you'd expect from God, except that was God's plan. And in chapter 2 of this prophetic book, God reveals, that the righteous shall live by his faith, or the righteous shall live by faith. And so that made me think about, it made me go into another rabbit hole of, okay, what is faith then? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that's a nice sounding statement, but I think what the main idea there is that those who have faith have this confidence, this belief, this joy that they are able to still not be shaken despite their circumstances and despite the things that they see, because there is more to our lives than what we see. There's also the unseen and what God has for us. As I was thinking about that, I came up with four ways that we can live with joy. There's probably more than that or less than that, but I'll go through at least two or three of them, if not all four. So the first thing about joy is that joy results from putting our trust and faith in God, kind of like what I talked about earlier. But a really powerful example of that is in Acts chapter 16, Silas and Paul, I believe it was, were thrown in prison because they were preaching the gospel and sharing their faith. And instead of moping around in prison because they were thrown in there and, instead of rolling around in their situation, they chose to pray and they chose to sing to God. And as a result of that, God shook the foundations of the prison and all of the, bonds were unfastened and all the doors were opened to the jail. What a powerful example of having joy in God and what that can bring. Another way that we can live with joy is that we can share our joy, share the good news with other people. This is not an easy thing. Like I mentioned earlier, at first I was very fearful of that, and I still have times where I am, uneasy about it. But I think that it's pretty clear in Scripture that it's something that we're called to do. In the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit and teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. So, right there, we are commanded to do this. And I think the new year is a good time to challenge ourselves and say, what opportunities do we have in our life as an individual or as a church, and what opportunities are out there that might be on the table for us to, partake in. And the other thing, too, is to ground ourselves in Scripture. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. But it's really important to understand the nature of God. It's important to understand what God has revealed to all of us, so that way not only we're more able to share that with other people, but we need our own bread and living water. If we pour into other people, sometimes if we do that too much, then we can be spiritually drained. So it's also important to get our bread and living water from the Word of God. So for some closing comments, just wanted to point out that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not a personality trait. It is not a temporary feeling. It is a result of the Holy Spirit working within us. And that is just a way that I think that we can all live out our year this year. And I hope that with my testimony and with everything else shared, that you would feel more equipped or be more equipped to go about this coming year. So thank you. I guess that's it. No, go ahead.
You can stay there a minute.
Okay.
Does anybody have any questions for Nick?
Yeah. How do you read Scripture and your father's notes? How do you do that?
Well, so, that's a great question. So I actually, by the grace of God, I wasn't following my notes, but that's because I was practicing like crazy and and praying a lot about this and you know, all the above. But how I typically follow notes is, so I'm more of an auditory person. I like to like dictate stuff on my phone. So, you know, I can speak out my notes and then they're on my phone. When I was in school, I typed out my notes on the laptop and I would, you know, be able to just refer to them there. But whether it's my phone or my laptop, I have a software that basically reads out loud what's on my screen. So that way I can hear it instead of see it by reading it. And then your other question was how to read scripture. So I have the Bible app on my phone, and even though it's not the same as a hard copy book, it's the best way for me to understand things because I can, you know, listen to it and be able to navigate it that way. Right now, actually, for this year, I'm doing one of the Bible in a Year plans. It's the, I think it's called, I don't know, it's some Scottish name. I think it's M. Cheney or something like that, where you read four chapters a day, and you go through the Old Testament once, New Testament, and Psalms and Proverbs twice. So that's what I'm reading right now. But also, you know, I try to read one proverb a day to be filled with God's wisdom. And, you know, then I have homework from John on different things that we talk about. It's homework that I enjoy. And then, you know, once in a while, there's other things that come up. Like I was leading a Bible study session for the young adults Bible study at my church. So I spent a lot of time with that. So it really depends. But it's all centered around, you know, reading it on my phone auditorily. Yeah.
And that was some challenges for Nick because in college, all his textbooks were auditory. I mean, he had to listen to his textbooks in college. So some of them were a lot more conducive to being translated, and that did affect Nick's changing majors. Well, that was part of your changing majors when you were in college, I believe, Nick, as you were trying to, a couple of your engineering classes were a little hard to understand as far as not being able to see the textbook.
Yeah, it was a couple of different things. I was also not good at physics, so that didn't help either. but yeah, college had a lot of its own challenges, whether it was just getting the things I needed on time. That was very difficult for the first couple years of my life, or not my life, first couple years of college. But then things turned around through many conversations that I had with the administration of the university. They were able to add an additional full-time person to that office that deals with those kinds of requests. So,
What did you switch to?
Oh, so yeah, technically my degree is in project and supply chain management. So it's project management and logistics and stuff like that. But I actually work in IT, which is another story of how God moved in my life, how I went from all those different things to where I'm at.
Yeah, so explain what you do now.
Sure. So I work for the Commonwealth of PA, and I test websites to make sure that they're accessible to people with disabilities. So making sure that state websites are able to be, you know, accessed when people try to apply for, whether it's anything from unemployment to SNAP or any other stuff, and even just like general agency websites that like have general information about like, hey, this is all the stuff that we do or whatever. So it's a lot of examining visual things, for me, non-visually, with the testing software and different software things that I have.
And Nick's also on it. What's the advisory board you're on for the state?
Oh, yeah. That's not as important, I guess, but I can still share that. You're trying to line up all of my things that I do and accomplishments, but since it was brought up, yeah, there's this advisory board that I'm on for the PA Department of Education, Bureau of Special Education, to try and advise how to make sure that people who are blind or visually impaired in K through 12 are able to have, you know, a good education, what kind of things they may need, that kind of thing. So that's a minor detail, but yeah. Any other questions? Yeah, I go to Lakeview Bible Church. It's north of town, up on a hill. It used to be the little church on a hill, but it's not so little anymore. When I went there for vacation Bible school when I was a little kid, I think they only had maybe 30 people in that church. But today, it's about 180 people on any given Sunday, sometimes more, sometimes less. But yeah, it's a great community up there. And, you know, this is a great fellowship here as well. A lot of very friendly people here, so I definitely appreciate all of you. Any other questions?
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, no problem. Sounds good.
I think in closing,